This is Tom Bosley inviting you once again into the magical world of radio, the theater of your imagination. This time, we're going back 800 years to merry England. Only, we will find it not so merry. For England now is ruled by the wicked Prince John, a caretaker king, while his famous brother, King Richard the Lionhearted, is on his way back from Jerusalem. Ruthless Prince John, who is determined at any cost to steal the throne for himself. Our adventure story, Ivanhoe, was adapted from the original by Sir Walter Scott, by Ian Martin, and written especially for the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater. It stars Kevin McCarthy. I'll be back shortly with Act One. A 100 years before our story begins, the Normans had invaded England, defeating the Saxons. But the Saxons still dreamed of regaining their land. Foremost among these was Sir Cedric, who sought the throne not for himself, but for his beautiful niece, Rowena. Meanwhile, the Normans were divided between Prince John and the missing King Richard, who has mysteriously vanished after his triumphs in the Holy Land. But King Richard was not the only one strangely disappeared. But this is not my story. Let Wamba, Sir Cedric's slave and jester, tell it all.
They call me Wamba the Witless, because I have no brains. Or so they say. Here am I, resting on the soft grass, with no work to be done. I only have to exercise the brain I don't have. Like wondering at this moment, while I chew on a stalk of grass, who this knight is that is approaching, a knight in armor with his visor up, showing his dark, scowling Norman face. What can he want?
On your feet, dog!
At your command, Sir Knight.
Know you, Cedric the Saxon?
He is my master.
My men and I need shelter for the night. Direct me to him.
Oh, indeed, Sir Knight, you have scattered what wits I have so thoroughly that I am hard put to remember even my own name.
Fool, you had better, or the flat of my sword shall jangle and beyond repair. I promise you that by the word of Brian de Bois-Guilbert.
A Norman?
A knight templar returned from the holy wars against the accursed Turk.
From Palestine? Knew you my young master, Ivanhoe?
I thought your master was Cedric the Saxon.
Oh, begging your leave, Ivanhoe is his son, or was until the father banished him.
For what?
For love.
A strange reason to cast away a son. His father wished not his own son's love.
For himself he wished it, my lord, not for the Lady Rowena. Because the Lady Rowena is promised to Athelstane, the rightful Saxon king of England.
Beware your loose tongue! England needs no Saxon king. Norman blood has won this country for its own. We have our true king.
The Lionhearted.
Richard? Richard is lost, returning from the wars. His brother is our king, Prince John. Direct me where I should go.
I will do that, and gladly, sire. You must hold to this path till you come to the sunken cross where four roads meet. There you shall turn to the left.
Left.
Be very sure. You would not want to be caught in a storm with your followers and have your armor rusted. You see the advantage of being a fool. How do I know my left from my right? The path I had sent Sir Brian on should have led him out of our lives, except that he met the pilgrim.
Pilgrim! Pilgrim! Is this the sunken cross that leads to Cedric's mansion?
It is.
Then we turn left.
No, right.
Well, that's not the word I had before.
Oh, from whom?
Some rogue in cap and bells who claims to be jester to Sir Cedric's house.
Wamba, the fool?
The same.
What would you from a fool who knows not his left hand from his right? I am myself bound for Rotherwood, Give me a horse, and I shall be your guide.
While this mysterious pilgrim was meeting with the fierce Knight Templar and his retinue, I was returning by a shortcut, scarce in time to warn Sir Cedric of his unexpected guest.
Brian de Bois Guilbert. I would not give him sitting room were it not for the law of the land, which extends hospitality to any who knock at our door. Let them be admitted to eat with us and seek shelter for the night. And inform the Lady Rowena that it is better she does not share our board this evening.
A knight and a pilgrim from the Holy Land?
Yes, my Lady Rowena.
And I should not have the chance to ask from them what news of Ivanhoe?
Sir Cedric felt it better
than... Sir Cedric is my guardian. He's not my master. I will sup with all of you.
You draw your veil, my Lady Rowena.
Do you know a knight called Ivanhoe?
No. That name will not be uttered in this house. He's dead to me and mine.
But surely if the lady asks, it's only common courtesy.
No. If we must talk of Palestine, let it be of deeds of battle. And those Saxon knights who beat them best among the champions of the cross.
I would be untrue to my badge of office if I did not claim that honor for the Knights of the Temple.
Were there none in the English army worthy to be mentioned with the knights of your order?
Yes, and they were second to none.
Who is that who speaks, Wamba?
That is the pilgrim, Sir Cedric.
I say, for I saw it, that King Richard himself and five of his knights held a tournament against the Knights Templar, and at the end, your knight, Sir Brian, lay tumbled in the dust.
I would give you this golden bracelet, pilgrim, if you name the knights whose victory you claim.
My vows allow me to accept no arms, but I answer your question proudly. King Richard himself, first in arms, honor, and renown. The Earl of Leicester... Sir Thomas Moulton.
Of Saxon descent.
Sir Fulk Dweely.
The same.
Sir Edwin Turnham.
Oh, genuine Saxon. How name you the sixth?
The sixth was a young knight of lesser rank. His name I do not recall.
But I do. For by the chance of my horse's failing, I fell before his lance. His name was the Knight of Ivanhoe. If he were in England at the tourney this week, I would gladly give him the challenge.
If Ivanhoe ever returns from Palestine, I will be his guarantee that he meets you.
You, pilgrim? Throw back your cowl from around your face so that I can see what man it is that makes the challenge.
That same vow that prohibits me from touching gold does not allow me to bare my face.
If no other voice is raised in his behalf, mine will be. For the absent Ivanhoe, I guarantee he will meet fairly every honorable challenge. To that, I pledge my name and my fame.
The supper eaten, the Lady Rowena and the guests retired, and I, after attending my master to his bed, was heading to sleep myself when a whisper summoned me from the shadows.
Psst! Who
calls me?
Here, from my cell. The pilgrim.
Oh.
Hold up your torch and look upon me.
Ivanhoe.
Hush, hush.
It is not my purpose to be recognized yet. There is too much danger and treachery under this roof.
Oh, my beloved lord. My beloved lord. No treachery or danger from us, nor from your father, who only wants some excuse to welcome you back.
Well, I do not speak of you or my father. I speak of Brian de Bois Guilbert and his men. I have already heard him order them to capture the merchant Isaac for ransom once he is free of this house.
A moneylender is lower than a slave like me. Of what value is he?
No matter his profession, he is entitled to the safety of the law. And he has an added value for me.
What is that, master?
In return for my aid to reach his home safely, he has promised to lend me horse and armor. I intend to see that Sir Brian's challenge is answered on the field of honor day after tomorrow.
Then you will reveal your name?
No, the time is not right yet. I fight under the emblem of the disinherited knight. But I need someone to serve me. Will you stand with me?
To the death.
Sir Brian is a champion and a formidable fighter. I hope that won't be necessary.
trials and good men of England, I beg you give me silence to speak as the guardian of the throne. I, Prince John, declare the games shall now begin. Let the herald signal love of ladies, death of champions, glory to the brave.
The challengers ring their lances on the shields, then ride to the other end of the list. But we have arrived late, and my master Ivanhoe is still buckling himself into his armor. Now, the first two knights move to the joust. Lancers couched, aim for each other's shields. The dust rises from the hooves of their steeds as they come together with a shot that shakes the ground. Oh, a knight is unhorsed, and the other, still mounted, returns to his tent. Now a second pair starts the joust, driving at each other like the wind.
Another Saxon down. The die is against England.
Which is Bois Guilbert?
His shield bears the device of a raven. He just unseated his fourth challenge.
The devil must guide his hand. Can none prevail against him?
A sad day for a Saxon. We are humbled in the dust.
Wait. A new knight is riding into the list. Who is he?
I do not recognize the crest, but his colors are Saxon. Can you read the legend on his shield?
Yes. It reads, the disinherited knight. He's going to challenge.
Brave lad. Stout lad.
He's riding straight for Sir Brian's tent. Oh, Lord, go with you, brave champion, whoever you are.
A challenge.
With the point of your lance.
You heard? You see.
That means to the death. Look your last on the sun, for this night you will sleep in paradise.
The battle lines are drawn as Sir Brian pulls down the visor over his scowling face. Sir Brian is broad, strong, powerful, bulking huge in his armor. Ivanhoe is slight and boyish, outweighed. Is he outmatched? We'll find that out as soon as I return with Act Two. At each end of the list, some 200 yards apart, the two knights rein in their fiery steeds, ready for the marshal's trumpet to signal the attack. The crowd is silent now, holding its breath, waiting for the battle to come. The first trumpet sounds, and they wheel their horses to face each other. And on the final signal, they drop their lances, Sir Brian's aimed at his adversary's shield, the disinherited knight choosing the more difficult target of his enemy's helmet.
Sir Brian splintered his lance.
Aye, but the disinherited knight held firm, and he bore Sir Brian and his horse to the ground by a thrust at the helmet.
Why is he dismounting?
To fight him on foot.
Then he has not yet won.
According to the rules, I do not...
Marshals! Today there is no hand-to-hand combat. Sound the trumpets. Have them put up their swords.
Well, Sir Cedric, this champion of yours, since he bears the Saxon colors, who is he?
I do not know, Prince John.
He refuses to have his helmet unlaced. I would know his name.
So would everyone. The crowd is in a fever to know.
They would have to wait, it seems. He has taken a vow, he says, and cannot break it, so we can only guess. Could it be the Earl of Salisbury, do you think?
Some say so. Others, Sir Thomas de Multon. And many whisper, perhaps, King Richard himself.
May heaven forbid, my brother.
Would your highness not welcome his return?
Huh? Why, yes, of course. Stand aside. He's coming now. Well, Sir Knight, will you not raise your visor so we may recognize our champion?
I cannot, by reason of a vow, Your Majesty.
Which we must respect by the laws of chivalry. It is now your duty and privilege to crown tomorrow's Queen of the Tourney. Raise your lance.
My master obeys, and on the point of his lance, Prince John places a coronet of satin and gold. The knight then wheels his horse and rides straight to the Lady Rowena, extending it to her. And as she reaches for it and places it on her head, he spurs his horse out of the lists and towards our tent.
Let the others see to the horse. Come in the tent with me, Walter.
Yes, master.
Make sure we are not disturbed. I want this helmet off. There. That's better.
You are not hurt, sire?
No, I'm just weary. And my bones ache. But I have a task for you.
At your command.
Shortly, the armor and the steeds of those knights I have defeated will be brought to me. I shall keep 2 mounts for tomorrow and ransom all the rest. Then I shall send you to Isaac of York with a bag of gold. Let him pay himself generously for the horse and arms his credit supplied me. And there will be a reward for you. 10 pieces of gold.
I need no reward, master, save I should like to shout your name from the rooftops so that every true man can know his champion.
Not yet, Wamba. Not yet. In good time.
But when I came to the house of Isaac of York, he was not home. And instead, I was received by a woman of such dark beauty as numbed the senses and bemused the mind.
I'm sorry my father could not receive your master's emissary, but I'm his daughter, Rebecca. How can I help you?
Oh, my sire only wished to return to your father what he had borrowed. Here, milady.
Oh, after today's gallant performance and feats of arms, he owes us nothing. What is his name?
I can't reveal that.
Oh, I wish I could have met him in person to thank him for his kindness to my father.
Well, in like fashion, my master is grateful for your father's kindness to him and glad of the chance to repay.
I know I speak for my father when I say there is nothing to repay. Nay, how much gold is in this bag?
80 pieces.
Then take this in exchange. It contains 100. Restore what is your master's and keep the rest for yourself.
For myself?
For yourself. And haste before the night falls. Beware this crowded town and the outlaws abroad, lest you lose your money and your life.
By St. Dunstan, this dusky alien beauty is an angel of light. 10 pieces of gold from my master, 20 from her. At this rate, I can buy my freedom before... I was crowing too soon. At that moment, I was crossing a common thick with bushes when suddenly from all sides came the ruffians. I tried to defend myself, but I... myself, following a blow I had suffered, a ringing blow on the head, I was lying at the foot of a man dressed in Lincoln green, while other men sat around him in a dell, quite surrounded by a forest.
Awake then, lad, huh? Are you yourself again?
If my head is not broken.
Oh, I doubt it. If my man had meant real mischief, it would certainly have been.
Who are you?
An outlaw. If you need a name, Will Locksley will serve as well as any other. What money have you?
30 zecchins of my own. I hoard it to buy my freedom.
And this other bag with 80?
That is my master's money.
His name?
The Disinherited Knight.
Huh? Whose good lance won the prize in today's tourney?
I?
Well, then, because your master has served all Saxon men well this day, I will let you and your money go. And send my men to guide you safe home.
Oh, God bless you then. And I thank you for myself and my master. To whom may I tell him we are beholden?
You refused your name and your master's. Ask not after who or what we are, or ill fortune shall befall you. Little John, Friar Tuck, see this man safely on his way.
The Disinherited Knight was astonished to hear of the generosity of Rebecca, the merchant's daughter, and of that of the outlaw robbers, but he had little time to think about either. He needed sleep and rest to prepare for the morrow.
By the hour of 10 o'clock in the morning, the tournament area around the barriers was crowded to overflowing. Prince John and his retinue had arrived, and he had brought Rowena to a seat of honor beside his own, with Cedric the Saxon to the other side of him.
How will the games be played today, Your Majesty?
Why, Milady, today is mock war, although the blows will be real enough. The heralds will announce the rule shortly.
The disinherited knight will lead one army through the other.
Sir Brian, of course.
Who is that knight in black armor?
Eh? Where?
Yonder, by himself, but on the side of the disinherited knight.
He bears no insignia I can see. Can you, Sir Cedric?
No. His shield is bare. But by my troth, he looks every inch a man.
He looks immense and powerful. Well, we shall shortly see how well he fights.
Oh, but they will not fight to the death.
Oh, some few may die, milady. Death is always better than defeat. But I can ensure the battle will not prove too bloody. When I throw down my truncheon, the fighting must stop. Well then, we are ready. Sound the trumpets!
What is it, Lady Rowena?
Help him, Uncle. Help him. Beware the disinherited.
Three of them attacking him from all sides at once. The cowards.
Sir Brian is one of them.
He cannot handle them alone. But see, he seems to have heard your warning cry.
Oh, he's magnificent.
What horsemanship. But the odds are still too great. Wait. A champion to the rescue. The Black Knight. What a blow that was. And one of the rogues is on the ground. Now, look.
The Black Knight wrenched the battle axe from his enemy's hand.
And drives him senseless to the ground.
Oh, now he can turn on Sir Brian to aid the disinherited knight.
No. He pulls his horse away to let the disinherited knight charge by himself. Ha! Bravo! Sir Brian is down. The knight leaps from his horse. He could behead him with one stroke.
Instead, he holds back.
Yield! I cry you, yield!
Enough! Hold up! Tell sound ease battle. The truncheon is thrown.
So, Sir Disinherited Knight, as queen of this tourney, I bestow the chaplet of honor your bravery deserves.
Ah, no, milady Rowena. His head must be bare to receive the chaplet.
No, I beg you.
Sir Cedric, bear his head.
Yes, Your Majesty.
No, I beseech you.
Ivanhoe!
Or what is left of him, my lady.
My son.
Stand back. Marshals, remove this man that he may have aid.
The name of Ivanhoe was suddenly on everyone's lips. When he fell, I was rushing from the tent to join him, but pushing through the crowd, I could not see what had happened. And before I knew it, I found myself face to face with Sir Cedric and his retinue.
Wamba!
Yes, sire.
Deserter! Run away! Oh. Did you think to become a free man? Oswald! Hunderbear! Fetter and bind that slave.
No, I must find my master.
I am your master. Who else?
Your son, Ivanhoe, the disinherited knight, whom you have abandoned in his own blood. He's taken a deep wound.
Uncle!
What news, milady? Is Ivanhoe with Prince John?
No.
Well, he can't have disappeared into thin air.
Worse, Uncle, I'm afraid. I hear that as he lay unconscious, a band of well-attired grooms lifted him to a litter and he was carried away.
And for where? By whom?
Sir Brian, perhaps, to work his revenge.
I do not think so. Those who told me mentioned a lady, and the direction they left was towards York.
To horse at once, though I still do not forgive him. He is my son, and pray God we are still in time to rescue Ivanhoe.
In a moment, all were mounted, even the Lady Rowena, and set off at a gallop towards York. Was it a wild goose chase, or were they really following the missing Ivanhoe? Was he in danger from his enemies, or was he still alive? And who was the mysterious lady? Time to discover that when I return shortly with Act 3. What Wamba could not know, or anyone else, was that the mysterious lady was Rebecca, the daughter of the merchant Isaac of York. But it would not be long before they found out, for the severity of Ivanhoe's wound meant that they had to travel slowly. The knight was in a very bad way, and it was testing all of Rebecca's skills to heal him.
Where am I? In heaven?
I hope not, or I am a poor doctor.
Who are you, noble lady?
Rebecca. My father, Isaac of York.
Oh, my benefactor, who has made all possible.
Oh, we think of you as benefactor for returning him safely home.
And you attending to me, healing my wound?
It seemed best I should.
Why do you do this?
For love.
Love?
Well, I must mend your wounds so you can return to protect the right.
I forget myself. Oh, the tournament.
Broken off. Prince John has sped away to York to make certain the crown remains his own.
And no blow struck in defense of true King Richard?
Oh, where is Richard when his country needs him?
I wish I knew, so I could rally to his banner.
It was about at this time we came in sight of Rebecca's caravan. But even while we were closing in on it, nay, long before, an unknown interview had taken place that set others on a collision course.
You summoned me, Your Majesty.
I did, Sir Brian. Can you read this?
Take heed to yourself, for the devil is unchained. Or what does it mean?
It means I will judge that my brother Richard has attained his freedom. It means the time has come for each man to choose where he stands.
Well, do you doubt me, King John?
I am not yet king and not yet free to doubt. You could be of service, Sir Brian.
You have only to ask.
I need every arm I can to support me. I need money above all. How can you aid me since you failed me in the field?
Trust me, sire, to redeem myself.
How?
As you know, there are certain outlaws led by Robin Hood who are tolerated in the people's respect. Suppose I should arm myself and others with me, pretending to be this Robin Hood band, and capture Sir Cedric, the Lady Rowena, and others of the Saxon cause to be held for ransom. With the money gained from that, you can raise an army to give Richard cause to beg to return to Palestine.
So be it. But do not fail.
Meanwhile, I and my master Cedric and his train, knowing nothing of these plots, had overtaken the Lady Rebecca and her retinue in the heart of the forest.
What are you trying to do, Rebecca? Steal our champion for your own?
You do me wrong, Sir Cedric. I wish only to give Ivanhoe back his health.
Stand and deliver. Make way for Robin Hood and his merry men. Throw down your arms.
You are surrounded. You are our prisoners.
Now, fight for your lives. Some of these outlaw renegades, what it is to be true Catholic.
But the onslaught was too sudden and unexpected to be turned back. In the din and the confusion of the ambush, I slipped away into the undergrowth and, helpless, had to watch Sir Cedric, the Lady Rowena, and all the others carried off as prisoners from the field. In escaping, I had tripped and fallen, striking my head. And now, as the captors rode off with their prisoners, mercifully, all went black before me. I was awakened by the sound of a horse nearby.
Help! God of mercy! Help!
Who calls for aid?
Wamba, the witless, victim of an outlaw band. Who comes to my aid?
One who prefers to keep his name secret for the present.
The Black Knight.
Why are you bound?
Well, against my sire's wishes, I deserted his house to serve my young master Ivanhoe. Alas, these bound arms of mine could not aid him. Now Ivanhoe, sore wounded, has been carried off with the Lady Rowena, Sir Cedric, and all his train to be held hostage by Sir Brian de Bois-Guilbert.
Why so?
At the behest of the treacherous Prince John, they seek to raise money to equip an army to prevent the true King Richard from regaining the throne of England.
Say you so.
They only pretended to be outlaws. They were not Will Locksley and his band.
Will Locksley?
Hmm.
I remember such a man. A friend and companion. If it is the same, I know some notes I could wind on my horn might bring him here.
Oh, then I pray you sound them now, Black Knight, whoever you may be.
Very well.
On the second sounding, from the near distance came answer to the Black Knight signal. And in no time, we were surrounded by a goodly band of men in Lincoln green.
Who sounds that signal on the horn?
Oh, I do.
The Black Knight. But how do you know those notes?
Perhaps it is time to reveal myself to those I can trust. If I remove my helmet, can you recognize me, Will Locksley?
Richard Plantagenet, the lion himself. Kneel all ear to our king at last return. What would you ask of us, your majesty?
First, before all, good Robin Hood, as I hear you're called by those that love you, your friendship. Second, your secrecy. The plots are so thick against me, I dare not reveal my true identity till I am sure of enough support to maintain my throne.
You have it from me and my men.
And from me. Don't turn against the fool. He's more to be depended on than the wise man.
As I find. But let us first forget our own problems and think how we can help that brave knight, Ivanhoe. This castle where he's held, how may we storm it? And how find out the villain's intentions?
Had we only known the situation inside the castle, the attack would have begun at once. But there was no way to know the depths of evil to which those against us were ready to sink.
Enter.
You sent for me, Prince John?
I need results, Sir Brian. I have no time. This Ivanhoe is the woman Rebecca still doctoring in.
She is?
Without license.
My liege?
And I mean, what license has she to prepare unguents to serve as physician?
Her method seemed to thrive. Ivanhoe was sorely wounded.
So much the better. I intend to bring her to trial and prove her a witch. If that isn't enough to shake out every gold piece in her father's storehouse, then my own name is suspect. Prepare the witch for trial. It is the judgment of this court that Rebecca shall be taken from here and put to the fire.
I am not guilty. I declare the falsehood of this accusation. I challenge the opinion with trial by combat. And will appear by my champion.
And who will be the champion of an alien and a sorceress?
God will raise me up a champion.
But, Your Majesty, how can I appear in the lists against her champion?
For God at the right, Sir Brian.
But she's not a witch.
She is the daughter of a man whose wealth can carry us to glory, or without which we can sink. And at the last recourse, we hold others as hostage.
But suppose I fail in combat?
You had better not, or we're all gone with the wind. Why worry, Sir Brian? Who would champion this foreigner anyway?
But there was one to champion her. And in the truce that was made on both sides, so that the trial by champion could proceed, I, Wamba, was called once again to be his squire. But never was a champion so unwelcome in the lists. Rebecca did not want him, for he was signing his own death warrant. For the same reason, all of us, the Black Knight, Sir Cedric, the Lady Rowena, pled with him not to risk his life. Only Sir Brian licked his lips at the prospect of almost certain revenge against the man who had humbled him twice, and who at last he knew to be Ivanhoe. The heralds have sounded the charge, And on its heels, there's nothing but the thunder of hooves and the approaching shock of battle and death. Closer and closer they come, lances at the ready. And then the incredible happens. Just before they meet. Before they meet, Sir Brian's horse moves out of the path of Sir Ivanhoe's. Its rider, Sir Brian, unaccountably drops his lance so that it plows in the dirt, throwing the rider violently backwards into the air to land on the ground, inert, unmoving, limp. The trial by combat is over. Rebecca is vindicated, and good has conquered evil. But what happened?
My friends and countrymen, I have taken what happened today as a sign from God. Is it true, Robin, Sir Brian was struck before the crunch?
Yes, my king. A massive stroke as though by God's hand for his sins.
So be it. For your sins, I forgive you, Robin Hood, and welcome you as my faithful subject.
No more outlaw, forever friend and subject.
To you, Ivanhoe, and to your bride-to-be, Rowena, I offer my blessing.
We will be forever grateful, my liege.
Last of all, to you, Wamba, I offer the most precious gift within my power. The gift of freedom. Strike the collar from his neck.
Oh! A moment, Sir King. Must I accept this boon?
You don't wish it?
Well, consider, Majesty, how it is with us common people. If you give me freedom, I must work to keep it. As a citizen, I must bear arms, which I don't like. And worst of all, I am at the mercy of the law and taxes. How is a poor half-wit to bear such adversity? Let me beg you to remain a slave.
Well, if you so desire, but a special one, subject only to me, and freer, I suspect, than any of the rest of us.
So ends the story of Ivanhoe, for he married the Lady Rowena, and as all men know, lived ever afterwards. Happily? Even a fool can't answer that.
If some of you think this is not completely the story of Ivanhoe, you're perfectly right. For others of you who don't know the story, go back to the book to prove us wrong. This is only a small part of a wonderful novel. We hope you've enjoyed this dramatization enough to return to it and find out for yourselves. It was Sir Walter Scott himself who said, "I am conscious that I shall be found more faulty by those who may be disposed rigidly to examine my tale." If we have erred, once you read it, we ask the same license as the author. Ivanhoe is too good a story to remain buried. We hope, for this little while, it has come alive for all of you. Our cast included Kevin McCarthy, Don Scardino, Arnold Moss, Elizabeth Latham, Robert Dryden, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Tom Bosley inviting you to return to the General Mills Radio Adventure Theater for another exciting tale you can hear through the magic of radio. The General Mills Radio Adventure Theater is recommended by NEA, the National Education Association.